afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winkler Verse. AJ Perez is going to be on this episode. Now, if you do listen to the Bart Winkler Show, AJ Perez is also going to be on that show, my Infinity Sports Network show. And it will sound the exact same, for it is. But this is not a case where I'm doing something on the air and then packaging it as a podcast just to get some content out there. No, no. This is something I'm doing specifically for both platforms. You see, he is the producer of the new Brett Favre documentary, Untold, The Fall of Favre. We're going to hear about it all. Jen Sturger, welfare scam, concussions, Vicodin, and the good stuff. Like, he was an awesome quarterback and he won us a Super Bowl. That documentary is going to be out on May 20th. Hey, that's Tuesday. And I will be watching it immediately. And I told him, not a big documentary guy, but you got me hooked. I told the guy who does documentaries, I don't really like your business. Hey, people tell me that about the radio all the time. Shout out to the folks that I saw at the Brewers game on Sunday. So I have one quick story on that. I'm at the Brewers game Sunday, and we're sitting in section 115, the top row of that section. So the section where behind you is the walking place. There's got to be a better word for that. But I either like to sit on an aisle, or if I can't get an aisle, I want that back row. I don't want to make anybody's life difficult when I leave to get up to go the bathroom or get a beer, man, or do whatever. I want to be able to have my own. I don't mind getting up for people. I don't want to inconvenience you. It's got to be some kind of quirk about that. I don't know. Because then maybe they think, well, I don't want to inconvenience this guy. But it's okay. I would rather be inconvenienced for the freedom to not inconvenience you. But we're at the back row. Royce Lewis, sixth inning, foul ball. It starts coming to us. And where I've been sitting recently, I've been close to some foul balls. Like, there was one when I covered a game in April that came right to me, but I was up a row because I was talking with frames. But if I did not move, the ball would have ripped my head off. So this, you know, when you see a foul ball come up, and not like one of these piss rockets, but one of these, they're up. There's some elevation up and then down. So it's coming up and then it's coming down. And you look at it and you think, oh, it looks like it's coming by me, but it actually won't come to me. This has happened a million times. Oh, it's getting closer, but it will still move. Oh, it was still. Oh my God, it's coming to me. I remain seated. I'm at the right. My kid's in the middle. My wife's on the left. She was down like cleaning up his mess. You know, all the candy and shit that we bought for him. So then I'm like, look out, guys. And finally, at the last second, I reach my hand out to tap the ball. My son claims it hit him in the butt. I think I protected him, but I should have been like put on my dick. You know those videos where it's like dad saves a kid from an oncoming train? And it was like a real quick whoop. I've seen my kid fall before and I'm just kind of like, oh no, he's going to fall. So I worry I don't have that. But I did stop it and then the ball knocked and it went under his seat. And then some guy behind us gave him the ball, which I was hoping he would. We talk about, should you give a kid a ball? But this is different because it's my kid now. And it was coming to him. So he had it's not like this guy just picked up the ball and then ran and found a child. Anyway, my kid was like, I don't want this ball. What is this ball? And then he had a friend over later that night and he's telling him, I overheard him, I got a real ball from the real game. It's like, now he's excited. Okay. All right. We kept the ball. I did give the guy a second thank you on the way out. So thank you, whoever that was. But it was scary, and we left. I think our family was shaken up. It was pretty intense. But the Brewers got a dub. That was nice to see. All right. AJ Perez, the bulk of this episode. I got some voicemails to play after that. AJ's done a lot of work. He was a daily reporter for 20 years. Front Office Sports is where you may have seen him most recently, but now he's in the documentary game, and his documentary is going to be on Netflix, and that will be on Tuesday. So we'll have AJ Perez on the Bart Winkler Show and Into the Winklerverse. Joining us is AJ Perez. We saw the, when I first saw the trailer for, it's going to be on Netflix, The Fall of Favre, part of the Untold series, I was like, oh my God. I'm not a big documentary guy just off the jump, but I'm going to be watching this the minute it drops. I'm somebody who grew up as a big Packer fan, and Favre's career, Brett Favre's career, like directly was my childhood. You know, he takes over, I'm 8 years old. He's the greatest quarterback that I've seen, that my dad says he's seen, that everybody, we just can't believe the Packers are good and we have this great guy. So it's interesting. And I think for people like me, AJ, you know, there's that Favre maybe doesn't, it exists as a memory, but if there's anybody that is still like 100%, Brett Favre is my idol. I mean, this documentary is going to shatter that image. Is it not?
It could. I mean, there's going to be people who watch this who are Brett Favre and Packers fans, or even USM fans or Mississippi natives that are still going to be, huge Brett Favre supporters. And, you know, they, if they do watch this, they may not come away with, the same thoughts of someone who didn't grow up a Packers fan. But I think there's just so much new things in this documentary. I think it will open people's minds. And I think the closing line, I don't want to ruin it, it's kind of like, we kind of hit on that. That's how we close the documentary.
It's so many different, angles that you can take with it, from, Green Bay. And then there was the Vicodin thing. And at the time we're like, oh my God. But then he did a press conference and we're like, oh, okay, we're all human. And then he leaves to New York, and then there's the Jen Sturger stuff, and she's a big part of this. And then afterwards, welfare kind of scandals with his alma mater, and even just growing up. And is all of that covered in this thing? Is this a complete span of his life up to this point?
Yeah, it's basically from birth, and we got some great footage of him as a child to, playing under his dad in high school, in U.S. through USM and to the Falcons, and then the trade to Green Bay, and how that trade revitalized Titletown. It kind of brought it back. That was kind of like, when Ron Wolf pulled the trigger on that, there were a lot of questions, like, why are we giving away so much for a guy who's like third string for the Falcons that Jerry Glanville didn't give much attention to. But it's just changed. It changed Green Bay. I mean, it changed Lambeau even. It's kind of like it really brought back excitement that hadn't been there for decades. Yes, the Vicodin scandal. And you got to give Favre credit for being upfront with that, because it was before what we all knew, what all became known as the opioid crisis, the Vicodin, everything else that, we're still dealing with as a country now. So he was very upfront about that. And there's a lot of, this is, nobody's all bad or all good, and no documentary should focus on just one part of it. We focus on a lot of different things, from, his winning the Super Bowl with the Packers to, obviously we mentioned him going to the Jets, and then what happened there with Sturger, and then the two massage therapists, and then him going to the Vikings, which I know pissed off a lot of people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that was, I actually forgot about that part, even though that was like, yeah, that was insane. AJ Perez joining us here. Netflix is the documentary, May 20th, The Fall of Favre, and it's going to cover, the whole gambit of his life. I think what's interesting with Favre when he was in Green Bay, this is a time where, you mentioned it, the Packers were a joke. You got threatened to get traded there. Ron Wolf and that team saw something in Favre that they needed to get. And then he turned into, really, it's been good quarterback play, and the Packers have changed their identity and how people think of him. And it traces back to that. It absolutely does. And part of it too was he was unlike any quarterback that was playing at the time. You know, gunslinger is still a word we say. He was just like brave and free and didn't care. And, oh, I made a mistake. The next play, fine. It's going to be the coolest thing you ever saw. And then even off the field, like there was a lot of fun video and you see whatever you saw. That was in an era, unlike what we're in now, with social media and everything. It just feels like for some of these guys, and maybe Favre's one of them, like everything that maybe the Packers tried to cover back then, oh, we can't let this get out. It all like comes back now a little bit later in life because we weren't dissecting it the way that we were then. Did you find a lot of things in his time with like the Packers specifically that, oh, there's a reason they didn't want that to be known?
Yeah, there was, we have a couple local media figures who kind of hit on that, how he was, you know, things that, you know, that may have been covered in Chicago, New York, or LA that didn't get covered in Green Bay. That just kind of just smaller market. That's what happens. I'm not knocking it, but that's kind of how smaller market teams work. Before social media, at least. I mean, even going back to 2010 when the Deadspin story came out and the Jen Sturgis situation became public, you know, that was before the Me Too movement. This was like the MySpace days, you know, that Facebook was coming on, Twitter was, you know, getting going a little bit, but we weren't in what we are in now, where the news cycle's so short and people, you know, even male sports writers will probably cover things differently now than they would have had in 2010. And I think there's just so much, you know, progress has been made, and maybe you could say progress, you could say social media shouldn't be part of that progress, but we're stuck with it. So, you know, there's a lot of things that maybe kind of people that just came and went and people forgot about. That's why it's good to revisit something. And Brett Favre's not that old, but it's kind of like some of this stuff did happen in the 90s and early aughts. So, you know, it's going to be a refresher, and it's also going to be something I think even the hardcore Packer fans will learn a couple things that they didn't know about him.
With Jen Sturger specifically, because she's a part of this, and again, it's just like the timing thing. I don't know if somehow like that did a lot of damage to her instead of like it did damage to Favre, but it seemed like it ruined her more than it ruined him. And I think she goes into detail on that too.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of the missteps under the NFL. You know, there we saw this in the years since with Ray Rice and other situations where, you know, they've gotten a lot better. The NFL investigations have gotten a lot better since. I think Deflategate on, I think they've done a lot better job with these kind of in-player investigations. But he was only fined $50,000, and that was for not cooperating. He was not suspended. You know, it came and went. Yes, there were jokes at Favre's expense, but it really, really, as you saw in the trailer, you know, it did really upended Jen Sturger's life. And she didn't want this to come out. I mean, this happened in 2008. It came out in 2010 in Deadspin. We run down how that happened. And yeah, it just kind of came and went for Brett, but it really kind of just really, it really shook Jen, it really shook up her life. And you were going to see all the scars that incident created.
What about the most, I guess, most recent one, everything that happened at Southern Mississippi, like the welfare stuff, and now he's suing people and then he's not suing people. So he's in an, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like how I would describe who Brett Favre is today. Cause I don't know, maybe he doesn't know. It's just weird. Like I don't know. Sometimes looking at his social media, it's like, is he an aggregator now? Is he trying to like, what is he doing? It's just, he's trying to be more public facing sometimes. And then it seems like he's dialing back, and then he'll get into the political arena, and then he'll like take himself back. I don't really know if he wants to be. Some people disappear. That's fine. Some people, you know, get a job as a color commentator. We thought for sure, you know, Brett Favre would be on TV, and then, you know, other stuff happened. So where is he now And you guys tried to contact him. He didn't want to be a part of this, I guess. But where would you like, what do you think Brett Favre wants out of the rest of his life?
That's a good question. So like I was really this, I got into this documentary because I covered the Mississippi welfare scandal. And really for me, it started in 2017 before this all happened. It was kind of the start of when this money was, some of this federal welfare money was funneling to people beyond, much beyond Favre. I mean, Favre is just one of 20 plus people. Yeah. And many who were in, who faced indictment, either state or federal charges. Brett Favre is not, it was not charged. He hasn't been charged, and he's, the entire time is he said he did not know the funds that went to the volleyball court, $5 million, and then to him $1.1 million that he repaid, and then the other $2 million went to Prevacus. So back in 2017, I was at USA Today, and I wanted to do a media story about his tryout at ESPN, and I'm like, someone texted me, I'm like, hey, do you want Brett Favre? You just have to talk about this Prevacus, which got the $2 million. It was a concussion treatment, or where if you get concussed, or if someone suspects you to have a concussion, you inhale something, and this will reduce inflammation and reduce the effects of a concussion. So that I was like, I don't know about, I cover concussions a lot. This is CTE days and everything else. I covered a lot of that. So I was like, yeah, I'm interested in that, but I want to hear about the ESPN tryout, which is, I think it's Monday Night Football, and it didn't, I don't think it went very well from what I could gather, but I want to talk to Brett. And it was so, but then we went into Prevacus, and I'm like, so when the scandal hit and the national media kind of came and went, I kind of dug back into it since I had this little angle with Prevacus. And that's where I learned a lot about, you know, how much he was involved, the biggest investor. He was obviously, he talked about concussions, and he had a concussion documentary that he was a producer of that came out last year. So he really cares about it. And he said he's had hundreds of concussions after his career. After he retired from the Vikings, he really, really care. And he still does care about concussions. We all do. I've had a couple from playing hockey. I think we're all concerned about that. But it's just kind of how he went about the funds. Now, you know, $2 million from federal welfare funds can't go to a concussion product. It can't go to build a volleyball arena. You know, while those, Favre didn't get the money himself, that went to USM and went to Prevacus, and Prevacus is basically defunct, and its founder got charged last year, faced criminal charges over this. So it's kind of like, it's kind of, you know, this is how I got into it, but really, it's like I have, my family's from Manitowoc County. My grandparents are from there. You know, I have lots of family out there. It was also about, you know, telling the story of, you know, what he did to, you know, uplift Green Bay and bring back Titletown and, you know, do all the things there. But also kind of like what being a celebrity, a sports celebrity, especially in a small market. And there's two small markets, really, Mississippi and then Green Bay. They don't cover things like they do in the, you know, the bigger top three, top four markets. So did he get away with things? Yeah, maybe. But it's also about, you know, he had a lot of endorsements, even post career, very, very popular player. And it's, I think he still has that, a lot of popularity. Still, you know, a lot of people are still with him.
Yeah. I'm interested. Again, I'm going to watch this the second that it comes out. Untold, The Fall of Favre. It'll be on Netflix. May 20th is the drop date. And I think what's going to happen to me is I'll go into it like eager to see the salacious stuff, the stuff that I didn't, you know, that I don't know yet, that I'm like, oh, what else did he do? This bad guy. And then I'll see a highlight. I'll be like, oh, I remember that. Or you just, you know, video clips. Because Favre to me seems like one of these guys where I can totally think, I don't like what you're doing. I disagree with things you've done. 5 minutes in a room with him, and I'm like, I love this guy. I just love this guy. And he's always, you know, had that. The small market thing's interesting too, because that like has been his whole life, having all of that.
Yeah. Outside of New York.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Then it caught up with him. But yeah, I think like, it's going to be a range of emotions, for people that watch it. And that's why it's probably a good subject to do a documentary on, because how do you explain, like, you know, as my kid starts to get older, and how do I explain, I have his old starting lineups, my old starting lineup. So playing with Favre. and one time he's doing bad guys and good guys. And he goes, do I put him with the good guys or the bad guys? And I know this seems like a fake story, but it's not. And I go, well, so how do you, and this is what the documentary is going to help explain, but how do you sum up Brett? You can't, you have to go. If you're going to talk about this, you have to talk about that. But if you're going to talk about that, you have to talk about that. And so I think that's what we'll see.
Yeah. Our director, Rebecca Gitlitz, like that was it. It's like, we kind of, for the first meetings, maybe the first meeting we had on this after, we started developing the documentary, is like her mindset, nobody is all good or all bad. You got to tell it all. You got to put it in the right context and tell, you know, the story fairly. And we do that. And there's a lot of good. I mean, you can't overlook what he did, you know, with the records he set, the Super Bowls. He probably should have won one or two more in Green Bay. It's kind of weird that, you know, things didn't fall that direction. Not a knock on Favre.
A quick point on that is something I always say is, you give any franchise in the NFL 30 years of Favre and Rodgers, minimum, they all have two Super Bowls. So Packers, I don't know what the hell happened there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of odd. You know, Domikowski was a great quarterback, but then you go from Favre to Rodgers to Love. It's like the string of like awesome quarterbacks the Green Bay Packers had, then you compare to the previous 30 years. It's pretty amazing. Like, it's, yeah, but yeah, it's, so
Tampa
it's
Bay
kind of
has
like
two Super Bowls in 30 years with Brad Johnson and Tom Brady. Say, I mean, and they have 20 of those years they suck. So yeah, great quarterbacks, two Super Bowls. Okay.
You've
got something in me there. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know how I was like, I don't know how the Packers lost to the Broncos that year. They were just so big underdogs that game. It was just that's kind of how things, but you can't put it all in one player, but yeah, it's kind of amazing. But it's like the fact that we're talking about how, you know, they should have won more Super Bowls. Like, look at the last 30 years before Favre got there, you know, I mean, at least 25. Yeah. It's about 30 years, you know, we're going pretty far back to the Bart Starr era there. And all the futility that followed it up until, you know, kind of the trade for Favre, and things got kind of on track for the next couple decades. But yeah, that's how one player can change an organization. And I don't know if there's been any player in my lifetime that changed an organization like Green, like at least as far as the NFL goes, like Brett Favre changed the Packers.
So the documentary is going to come out. He did not want to be a part of it. Do you expect at some point to hear from him, or even if it's like a statement, is there more to this to come, or are we just not expecting that?
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know what I want to watch his Twitter account. I'm not sure how, you know, obviously we invited a lot of people to talk who didn't want to talk. So that was, that's one of the hard parts of people who, not even just Brett, people close to Brett. It was because you have to make a well-rounded documentary. You can't make it all one-sided. You have to, it was a lot of effort goes into finding people close to Favre. And we had a lot of people who didn't want to talk, and I don't want to name the names, but you could probably guess who they are. And because they're still close to Favre, they're still friends with them. And it's kind of like, so I could see that, you know, why they didn't want to participate. But it's kind of, if we're, you know, tasks that, you know, telling the entire, you know, his entire life story, it makes it harder to do when people close to Favre do not want to speak with us.
Yeah. That's got, just from a documentary standpoint, I mean, you're going to tell the story of somebody, and so they can either talk and give their input, but then if nobody talks, then it like sort of delegitimizes this thing. Cause that's gotta be a hard part of what you do.
It's like, yeah, it's a challenge, but we did it. I mean, we did find the people, you know, whether it's a college classmate or a former Packers teammate, you know, we did. We actually it just took a little longer, but we found the right people to talk to who wanted to talk to us and wanted to lay things out. And that's something I'm really proud of, because it's kind of, you know, you get a lot of no's, you know, just like I'm being a journalist for 25 years or so. It's like, you're used to that. You just got to work around it, because your job is to tell the full story and tell it accurately and put everything in the right context.
Yeah. I host a radio show that airs at midnight across the country. I'm used to hearing no's from people. So it's a pleasure to have you on, AJ Perez. Again, it is coming out on Netflix, Untold, The Fall of Favre. Tuesday, May 20th. Great to talk to you. I can't wait to see the final product, and best of luck moving forward, and really looking forward to this.
And thanks a lot, Bart, for having me on.
Into the Winkler Verses, brought to you by Happy Place Hemp, happyplacehemp.com. When you check out, use the promo code BART. You will get 25% off your order. Every single order. Not just your first, not your second, not your third. Well, yeah, your first, your second, and your third, and all of them. Browse some of their other products, whether it's the THC and CBD seltzers. You can get those with 5 milligrams, 10, or even 20. They, of course, have the gummies, which are the first thing I was turned on to. They've also got dog treats and tinctures, if you'd rather go that avenue. Check them out, happyplacehemp.com, promo code's BART. They're in Muskego. If you want to swing by and say hi, they're on College Court. They're open. You know what? I'm going to give you their hours. 9 to 4 Mondays and Tuesdays, 9 to 7 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays from 10 to 2. So you can get in there as well if you'd rather get it that way and talk to Rob and talk to Chris and get a little more information about these products. Check them out, the Delta 8s, Delta 9s, and much, much more. HappyPlaceHemp.com, and we thank them for their continued support of the Bart Winkler Show. Oh, and this show, which is Into the Winkler Verse, is what I meant. Tim, got a couple of voicemails to play. The voicemail line, active and thriving, 402-915-BART, 402-915-2278. Thanks to our friends at Carl's Place. And if you want to see the AJ Perez interview, it's on our Dan Shaney YouTube stream. And we'll talk to Ryan Horvath this week. Thanks to our friends at Golden Chicken. All right, got a couple of voicemails here. I think they are still timely. This one is from Marcus on May the 9th. But here we go.
Hey, Bart. Marcus in Denver here. I was mulling over an idea in my head that I was going to call into the national show about, but then once I came to the conclusion, I figured the voicemail was the better line. So you mentioned a month or two ago about the Utah Hockey Club not being able to use the name Yeti. And I was so confused because there's the Austin Yetis, the soccer team.
Marcus, I'm going to read the transcript. I think the audio is a little muffled. It sounds like you're talking directly into the thing. So I tried to Google Austin Yeti and it kept bringing up a Yeti cooler store. And it took me a couple of searches to realize that the Yeti on the soccer team are not an advertisement. That's the name of the team. It's a bit embarrassing. And the reason for these confessions is there's a new pope, and the new pope is in the throne. So I don't think the translation, we've tried this before. The translation says there's a new pope in the new pope in the throne. So you kind of a lot of puppy air in the vibe. So my second confession was I thought prima donna was like something before McDonald's. I actually kind of have to hear that.
There's a new pope in the throne, so you know, kind of a lot of pulpy air in the vibe. So my second confession for you, I thought prima donna was like a pre-PRE Madonna, like something before Madonna was, you know, acting a little crazy. And then they're like, oh, that's pre-Madonna because Madonna before Madonna was.
Oh, no, yeah. Hey, who hasn't? Pre-Madonna. Who is not Marcus? You're not alone. No. I don't think you're wrong to confess any of these. I used to think suicide was spelled S-E-W-E-R space S-I-D-E. Because I wrote it out in a fourth grade story I wrote about someone. You can't say it committing. But that's what I thought it was. We all thought, for all intents and purposes, whatever the right one, prima donna, you're not wrong. I got Jake's reaction to last week's
What is up, Winklerverse? It's your boy Hot Take Jake here. Let me talk.
See, that sounds a lot better, Marcus. I don't know if it was your phone or... I don't know. But there is a tangible difference in the two. Not a slight. We're just trying to... Oh, boy.
Yeah, been a minute. Just driving home here, listening to this week's edition of which is always a treat. Paul, I love you. No notes. Perfect as always. But talking about this whole Giannis thing, and I heard somebody half-jokingly bring up this scenario, but then I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, man, we know what? Your Giannis loves Milwaukee. Milwaukee is his city. He shows all the loyalty to the Bucks, which is amazing. Well, how gangster of a move would this be where he looks at it and he goes, you know, with the Dame injury, there's just nothing in the interim that can get us to where we need to get to. Why don't you guys trade me? I've got two seasons, then I've got a player option. The Bucks currently have all of their cap coming off the books in two seasons. I'm just saying, remember when the Cavaliers reloaded and then they brought back LeBron? Giannis, somebody get this to him. Think about it. Trade me for a haul, develop the guys, then I come back for the final run, and let's get some more damn rings out of this thing. Sounds kind of funny, kind of fun, but the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, hey, you know what? That's a total gangster move. Go for it, Giannis. Just wanted to toss that out there. Damn it, I wish this show was a live show because that would be a fun live topic. But anyways, love you boys. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, I think that we've talked about that. I know I have. I've had the suggestion we should trade somebody and then have them come back. Has that ever actually happened? With LeBron, he came back, but that was not the intention. But has it ever happened where they like, hey, and people have left and then come back, but I don't know that it was totally by design of make sure you get a haul for me and then I will return the next year. Like Jack Flaherty is the only one that I'm thinking of off the top of my head. So he signed a 1-year deal with the Tigers for 2024, and then they traded him for a couple of guys, including Trey Sweeney, who's been hitting well, I think. And then he came back and signed with the Tigers. But that's not like the type of haul where you're like, you know, I'm in on it. I don't know. It feels like that is a suggestion that comes up a lot. And I love it. But I don't feel like it ever actually happens. Anything with Giannis, like I see the Bill Simmons thing today where him and Russillo are talking about trading Giannis for Evan Mobley straight up. It's just been so frustrating. Any conversation around Giannis has been take a conversation around trading a superstar and then have that conversation in the worst possible way. You talk about all the value you saw for Rudy Gobert and Mikal Bridges, and yeah, those guys are in the playoffs, but that should be the starting point for Giannis. Straight up for Evan Mobley, that's got to be either bait or someone has a disease where they cannot think straight. It's unfathomable how everybody wants Giannis. And this goes back to what I was saying last week. Everybody wants Giannis off the Bucks, but no one's thinking about how can they improve the Bucks. Everyone's just thinking about, everyone's like trying to trade on behalf of these other teams to give them Giannis by barely having to trade anybody. It doesn't make any sense. It don't make any damn sense, man. I don't understand it. It's annoying. And also, yeah, this is probably the first time it makes sense to look at a trade for Giannis. So then what the hell were we doing the last 10 years? How does Shams come out and say for the first time Giannis is open? What every other time you talked about Giannis, what the fuck was that? It makes no damn sense, man. Did I just do that? It doesn't, though. And now, like, Jaylen Brown and the Celtics are out. And Tatum's hurt. It's not the same because, you know, you're going to get more Tatum and Brown with the Celtics than you will Giannis and Dame. But both teams next year are fucked because they got a $55 million albatross for a year at least. So if the Celtics want to improve, they're probably still a top six team next year. But look at the East. The East is going to be the Cavs, Pacers, and Knicks. Maybe the Sixers get back up there if they're healthy. They got a top pick. Who else? Bucks and Celtics? Then who? The Magic? They're stuck. The Bulls? 39 and 43 forever. The Heat are getting worse. The Hawks? Who? So both of these teams should still be playoff teams. So is it the worst thing in the world to just eat a year? Also, you look at these teams, they can't do anything. The Celtics have to start to, like, tear down, and so do the Bucks, and maybe even the Nuggets. And the Cavs. This new CBA is insane. You can't do anything. How do the Cavs get better? Well, you might have to trade someone away just to be under the cap. Same with the Nuggets. God, so dumb. Why is this the way it is? It's so dumb. All right, that is this episode of Into the Winklerverse. I'll explore those topics more, I'm sure, with Paul and Grant later in the week. Still have the win-loss of the Packers schedule for you coming with Ryan Horvath. Plenty to get into here in the month of May. Until then, please like and subscribe. Please follow me on all social channels that I am active on. Please check out and tell your friends about the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Until next time, as Jake said, see ya!